Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome in, everyone, to an absolutely lit post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Guys, as we chat in the aftermath of Game 1, what a night it was for your Houston Rockets. 118-87 winners over the Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 1 of the best-of-seven first-round series. Rockets now lead 1-0. Really great night for the Rockets across the board. So many storylines. You can go with James Harden, 37 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds on 13 of 28 shooting. You can go with Pat Beverly, who had 21 points, 10 rebounds, 8 of 13 shooting. Also, virtually locked up Russell Westbrook, 6 of 23 shooting, 9 turnovers, a negative 25, which was the worst on Oklahoma City's entire team. It wasn't just a matter of Harden outplaying Russell Westbrook. Pat Beverly outplayed Russell Westbrook. But we'll get to the individuals in a moment. What I think we should start with is the Rockets as a team, because collectively, this was the best effort they have had in weeks. Limited the Thunder to 87 points, just 33 in the second half. The Thunder, one of the better rebounding teams in the NBA. The Rockets actually out-rebounded them 56-41. And yeah, you had a lot of individual standouts, but you don't do that without a strong contribution across the board. I'm going to start with Ryan Anderson. Guys, Ryan Anderson could not buy his shot tonight. He was 1 of 6 in 38 minutes, 0 of 4 from behind the arc, and usually you'd say that that makes him a non-factor. Well, guys, he played 38 minutes, the most of anyone on the Rockets team. That's how valuable he was, because he was that active. He had 12 rebounds, plus 27. That's the kind of effort the Rockets played with across the board. Nene off the bench, 15 and 5 in his 19 minutes, 7 of 8 shooting. I think he's averaging almost 80% from the field this season against Oklahoma City. Clint Capella had 14 and 7. Capella and Ryan, by the way, were plus 27, tied for the best on Houston's entire roster in terms of plus minus. Pat Beverly, of course, he had 10 rebounds. James Harden had 7. It was up and down the roster contributions. It was a great scheme drawn up by Jeff Bezdelic. About the only nitpick you could have was Andre Roberson going 7 of 10, 4 of 6 from behind the arc. First off, I don't care how wide open he is. Roberson going 4 of 6 is incredibly uncharacteristic. But yeah, maybe you get an extra hand in the face somewhere. But to hold Westbrook to 6 of 23, Oladipo to 1 of 12, that's phenomenal, phenomenal defense on the perimeter, not just by Pat Beverly, but also by James Harden, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon. Really good effort up and down the roster. And that's what I think of when I see this game, is effort. Yes, it was a 5-point game at the half. It was kind of close, even though it ended up being a 30-plus point beatdown. It took until the second part of the third quarter, and especially the fourth, for the Rockets to truly put their foot down. But it never really seemed in doubt, because even when it was close, it was unsustainably close. Harden got off to a sluggish start, and then the Rockets made just 2 of their first 12 threes. You knew that stuff was eventually going to turn around. You knew Harden in particular would get going, because the Thunder had a very odd game plan, basically switching on everything. They never doubled. They were content to let not just Steven Adams, but even Enes Kanter alone on an island against James Harden. That's how afraid they were of the three-point shooters. So you knew the Rockets would eventually get going somewhere over the course of 48 minutes. I was never that concerned about the offense. The effort was always there, just some early jitters, maybe a little bit of rust after not playing in 4 days. But yeah, both ends of the floor, the effort is the main thing, and where that really stands out to me is defensively. Because what we know about this Rockets team, they are elite offensively. They're one of the top 10 offensive teams in the history of the NBA. They are really, really good. The only team even in their stratosphere in the playoffs offensively is Golden State. You know they're great on that end. The question is, how good are they defensively? Are they an average team that has a ceiling of the second round, maybe the conference finals if things go right, but ultimately doesn't have championship potential because the defense isn't good enough? Or can the defense get to that good level and make them a genuine threat, not just to win this series, but to give San Antonio and Golden State a run for their money as well. And tonight, I would say, was evidence that they can be threats not just to Oklahoma City, but the entire Western Conference and the NBA. That's how good it was. And one reason why I believe it, in general, in terms of just overall team philosophies, I think it's easier to go from average to good than good to great. That's why I really like a team like the Rockets, where in the course of the regular season, they were great offensively, average defensively, because if you can get that average to good, all of a sudden you pair that with being great on the other end, and boy, you've really got something. The flip side, you know, you can be a balanced team, but it's so tough to get to that elite level without the talent. We know the Rockets have the talent offensively. Question is if they can get the defense from, you know, an average, pretty good level in regular season to being good. It's Jeff Bezdelic's job. And for one night, they did exactly that. And the reason I'm bullish on it, I said it going into the series, but I think the format of the playoffs really benefits Houston. You get more time off in between games. They had 4 days off, essentially, before this one. They don't play again until Wednesday, so that's essentially another 72-hour wait. So I think that helps your veterans like Nene, like Ryan Anderson, also even Pat Beverly. We know the reckless abandon that he likes to play with. He can't do that over 82 games, even though he's on the right side of 30, so to speak. He'd kill himself if we saw that version, that playoff Pat, every game, the way he hounded Westbrook tonight. But in the playoffs, with more intensity, with more time off in between games, it is possible. The Rockets have done a good job down the stretch of the year. They've rested a lot of their veterans, Ryan Anderson and Nene, at the forefront of the list. I know it was frustrating because a lot of fans said, well, the Rockets have not played their best ball the last 3 weeks of the year. And you could obviously answer, well, the games don't mean anything. When it matters, they're going to turn it on. But I get the angst. I get a lot of folks saying, well, let's see what happens. We need to actually see the Rockets take a game by the throat and essentially just overmatch a team that they should beat. Well, they did that tonight in Game 1 on both ends of the court. It wasn't just a matter of them hitting threes, because the Rockets, really, they were just 10 of 33, 30%. This was a subpar game for them from three, although some of that had to do with the way Oklahoma City defended. We'll get to that in a minute. But big picture, they won this game as much defensively as they did offensively, and I do think it's a sustainable route for them. Maybe not to this extent every game. Maybe you don't out-rebound the Thunder, one of the better rebounding teams in the NBA, by 15 every game. That might be a little bit sustainable, and also might be a little aided by the fact that the Thunder missed so many shots. If Westbrook or Oladipo gets a little hotter, and at some point they will, even if you're playing good defense, then that's going to even out the rebounds a little bit more. But if you bring that effort, and the Rockets have done a pretty good job of managing the veterans like Nene and like Ryan Anderson down the stretch of the year. Even Lou Williams, by the way, I should point out, one of my followers on Twitter pointed out that Lou, he was 3 of 11 tonight. I know it wasn't the prettiest game for him, but he did end up with 11 points. I thought he got it going a little bit late, which was nice to see. He was a plus 21. Even Lou had 4 rebounds, and that's above, since he went to the Rockets, he's above his career averages on the glass. So you're seeing a lot of the veterans for the Rockets. They've had their minutes managed down the stretch of games, and that's paying off for them right now. And will they be able to do it every game? I don't know. We'll see as the playoffs move along, but there's no back-to-backs. In fact, you're going to have a lot of games like this where you have a couple of days off in between games. So yes, there's a chance that you can have this kind of effort. And if you do, if you pair the usual offensive exploits that we know James has, and also the likes of Eric Gordon, Lou Williams, as I said, those guys didn't even really get going tonight. Ryan Anderson, Pat Beverly, other than James, is by far the best offensive player. You can really have something with this level of defense. I thought it was a great plan drawn up by Jeff Bezdelic, but I thought it was more than the plan. I thought it's the culmination of a brilliant job by the entire Rockets organization, led by Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey, for just how they managed the minutes of these veterans down the stretch of this year. They wanted these guys to be on all cylinders entering the playoffs, and that they were. And even though it was a little rocky in the first and second quarters, you knew that eventually the offense was going to turn around, and when it did, the Thunder just did not have a gear to keep up. And when you talk about what the Rockets did on offense, finally pivoting to that, because I thought you had to talk about defense. When you hold a team like the Thunder to 87 points, 33 in the second half, that's got to be your lead. But turning to the offense, the story was James Harden. I said during the game on Twitter that this was a game you could really see the difference in James Harden and Russell Westbrook as players. I know Russell Westbrook doesn't have quite the same help around him offensively, but He's got plenty. There are capable playmakers there. But you saw Harden. He took it to the rim. Even though his three was not falling early, he made 13 of 28 shots. Even though the Thunder tried to turn James into a volume scorer, he still made almost 50% from the field, had 9 assists to just 2 turnovers. Flip side, Westbrook, what? 6 of 23, 22 points, 7 assists to 9 turnovers. Actually, a negative assist to turnover ratio for Westbrook. And I don't want to hear that, well, Westbrook was guarded by Pat Beverly. Because you know what? James Harden was guarded by Andre Robertson, who's just as good a defender as Pat is. Robertson is really, really good. The difference between Harden and Westbrook, Harden has an extra dimension to his game. It's not as much of a one-trick pony, in my opinion. I thought that showed tonight. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be replicated the entire series. I do think at some point Westbrook's going to have a game where he's just that hot, and he makes some of those shots. But in a series where you have to win 4 times out of 7 to advance, I don't see Russell Westbrook being able to do that, especially against Patrick Beverley. And I thought the difference between Harden and Westbrook tonight was as big of a gap as any between these two teams. Now, besides that, what really stood out to me tonight about what Oklahoma City did, they made a clear decision that they were not going to give the Rockets threes. They switched on everything. They did not double. And what ended up happening on these pick and rolls, of course, Robertson would start off guarding James. But then you had constantly throughout the game, Steven Adams and Enes Kanter left alone on an island against James Harden, which seems like suicide. And on one trip, it actually was, hoping his Kanter is okay after what James did to him. I think we all know what moment I'm talking about there. But the Thunder, even when it was Adams or Kanter left alone on a guy in James Harden who should be the MVP of the league, they still were not helping. That's how terrified the Thunder were of the Rockets' three-point shooters. Maybe it was an overreaction by Billy Donovan, because we know the last time these two teams met in late March, the Rockets hit 20 of 39 from behind the arc. Maybe they overcompensated and decided, we're not going to give up any threes, but give the Rockets credit. They did what they had to do. They adjusted. Harden took it to the rim. He got a number of layups, went to the line 11 times, and the second half finally got going there after starting 0 of 3, finished 8 of 11. But it wasn't just him. It was Pat Beverley. I thought Beverley had a very good mid-range game. He was 8 of 13 overall. I know he made 4 of 6 threes, which is nice, but he was also 4 of 7 from inside the arc. Got to the rim a couple of times, hit those floaters. That's big, because especially when Enes Kanter's in the game, there's no rim protection even if they stay back. But if you're switching on everything, your center is out there on James Harden, and they're sticking like glue to the likes of Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, etc., you know there are going to be driving lanes. And folks think that the Rockets are this three-point happy team because they do shoot a lot of threes. But the reason they do that, they have a lot of shooters, because most teams are going to take away the drive straight to the rim. They're going to, if not outright double, at least show, hedge, something like that, and force you to a three rather than give you the lane to the bucket. Tonight, the Thunder, Billy Donovan, I guess, after what happened in late March, they overcompensated. They wanted to make the Rockets beat them off the dribble, and James Harden, to a lesser extent, Pat Beverley, did exactly that. Now, is it going to be that way the entire series? No. I think Billy Donovan will adjust, especially with 2 days off. I think you'll see a little... they'll still switch, in my opinion, but you'll see a little more hedging. You'll see them dare the Rockets to hit threes. And maybe in one game, you never know when it will come. If Westbrook gets hot, the Rockets don't make their threes, and Harden doesn't get the same quality of looks if it's not as easy for him to get to the rim as it was tonight, maybe there's a perfect storm and the Thunder can win a game. But what I think this shows you is how tough it's going to be for the Thunder to win 4 out of 7. Because for the Rockets, like I said, they won this game by 30 tonight, and they just shot 10 of 33 from behind the arc. There are so many ways for the Rockets to win. Yeah, tonight Harden was efficient going to the rim, and he also had 9 assists to just 2 turnovers. That's great. Maybe he doesn't play that well. Maybe the Thunder makes some adjustments to double-team him, get the ball out of his hands a little more. Okay, that's fine. Maybe Ryan Anderson doesn't go 0 of 4 from 3 and makes more than one shot. Maybe Eric Gordon and Lou Williams do better than 2 of 8 from behind the arc. All you need is one of those guys to get going, and you can offset any lack of production from James. Maybe Trevor Ariza makes more than 2 shots. Ryan and Trevor just had 8 points between them, 4 each. So that's the point. You have a lot of shooters, a lot of playmakers on this Rockets team. So even if James and Pat don't have the same driving lanes, even if Billy Donovan takes some of those away and makes some schematic changes, there are other guys the Rockets can go to for their points, many the same that contributed when the Rockets scored 139 when these two teams met in late March, led by 31 points from Lou Williams. There are just so many options up and down this roster. Whereas for the Thunder, you just really don't see that many places that they can go. I thought it was encouraging inside from both Nene and Clint Capella against Steven Adams. Adams had just 6 points, 5 rebounds in 28 minutes. Thought both the Rocket centers outplayed him. And if he's not going to be a force around the basket, just how many playmakers did the Thunder really have? Westbrook, I mean, if he can get Beverly into foul trouble and he gets hot and he has one of those games where he scores 40 and the Rockets are cold from three and they make some schematic changes to keep Harden from getting to the rim, maybe all of that, if that perfect storm happens in one game, then yeah, the Thunder can win. But where do they go for consistent offense to play, especially against a Rockets team with a rejuvenated Ryan Anderson, Nene, so many active guys defensively? That's why it's so tough to see Oklahoma City winning this series. Oklahoma City, they do have a lot of defensive length, they have a lot of defensive options, and so they can get better there. But the difference is that the Rockets, even if they make some changes to keep James and Pat from having the driving lanes they had tonight, there are just so many other options up and down the Rockets roster that, yeah, maybe you lose a little bit of efficiency from your starting backcourt, but you shoot better than 10 of 33 from behind the arc. Maybe you're closer to 20 of 39, which you were the last time, and in that case, the Rockets maybe win by 40. You know, it goes both ways. So really, if the Rockets lock in defensively and play with this kind of effort, again, the last two times these two teams met, the Thunder scored 120. I can't remember that exact final. I know they had at least 120. The Rockets had 139. But clearly, the Rockets did not have the level of intensity. They did not have that playoff intensity, that playoff pat, whatever you want to call it. When the Rockets are rested and bring this kind of energy, it's just tough to see where the Thunder can get their offense to compete with them four times out of seven. Really, I think the better question is, when the Rockets play this level defensively, are even the San Antonio Spurs good enough to beat them four times out of seven? Not going to talk about that just yet. Rockets do still have three games to go in this series, and if they get those, Rockets should have plenty of rest before the second round before we can talk about Rockets Spurs. But for right now, I don't know what else to say. That was just a phenomenal start to the postseason by your Houston Rockets. Again, 118-87 winners over the Oklahoma City Thunder, 31-point win. Harden, Beverly, both outplayed Russell Westbrook, and the Rockets now have a 1-0 lead in the best-of-7 series, with Game 2 looming Wednesday night. So for now, I will sign off and hopefully get some sleep before talking to y'all again on Monday and Tuesday. When we chat Monday and Tuesday, I'm going to try to get at least one Oklahoma City guest in there at some point to talk about some changes, what Billy Donovan might do to adjust. So we'll, of course, talk about that the next 2 days here on Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of your Houston Rockets. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. Follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. And, of course, we'll be talking more preview, really, starting tomorrow, I would say. But for now, don't want to get too much into the rest of the series because there's plenty of time for that. The NBA has spaced out this series so much that, we're going to have plenty of discussion ahead. For right now, just enjoy the win the Rockets got tonight. It was a lot of fun. Rockets had a great environment at Toyota Center, went out, took care of business. If you're a Rocket fan, be happy tonight. Get a restful night's sleep. Go into work with a smile on your face tomorrow. And as far as what Game 2 holds, I'll be with you tomorrow and Tuesday to talk more about that then. Once again, happy final from Toyota Center Sunday night. Rockets 18, Thunder 87. Rockets now up 1-0 in the series with Game 2 looming on Wednesday. For now, have a good night.